This is Hal Hester, lead pastor of Vine Life, and this is our podcast, The Empowered Word. I want to thank you for joining us today. I hope this message inspires you, builds your faith, and gives you perspective on what God is doing in your life. Please enjoy the message.
Good morning. Good to see all of you this morning. Hope that you have had a wonderful celebration of giving thanks. You know, one of the things as we were just partaking of communion that I'm always reminded is, you know, the original Thanksgiving is, in fact, communion. The word that the scripture, the Bible uses for what we commonly call communion is actually the word Eucharisto, which means simply thanksgiving. And so the invitation is that of for us to give thanks. And, you know, one of my mentors, Dallas Willard, when he was passing from this life, one of the things that stood out about him in his whole walk of his life was that it was a life that was given with thanks. And he was constantly commenting that a life that was full of gratefulness would be a life that was abundant and overflowing. And in his final moments when he was passing from this life, he turned and looked across the room, very focused on someone who no one else could see. And he looked and he said, "Thank you." And he was born into eternity. I hope and pray for you as you come through this weekend, as you are preparing for the hustle and bustle that leads to Christmas, that it would come out of a place, a deep rootedness in the idea that God has provided for you, that God is for you, that He loves you, that you live in a great land of abundance, that you have His favor and His grace upon you, and that would condition the way that you approach this Advent season. As we think about the next 4 weeks and celebrating the idea of Advent, that you would have deep within you a sense that it would be rooted in thankfulness to God for His kindness and mercy upon your life. This Sunday actually is the first Sunday of Advent today, and the theme of Advent for the first week is hope. Some of you are aware that I started a newsletter series last week, because tonight being Advent and the newsletter comes out on Mondays. So if you are doing the Advent calendar, or you are keeping an Advent wreath, lighting Advent candles, any of those kind of practices, one of the things you could do is use that newsletter as kind of a theme to walk your family through tonight as you light that candle. If you don't, let me encourage you to read it anyhow and keep a focus throughout the week of hope, the expectation of hope, that hope is not something in the Christian mind against the obvious, but is the expectation that He is here with us. Hope in the pagan world is centered around the idea of that which cannot happen, probably won't happen, much like a teenager preparing for a mathematical quiz that they never studied for until the night before, and they say, "I hope I pass," which is built on hopelessness, right? But hope in the Christian sense is that Jesus, He is our hope. He has come, and that is why we anticipate in the goodness of God and the hope of heaven, because of who He is. Hey, if you're our guest this morning, want to say a special thank you to you. Thank you for coming and being with us on this first Sunday of Advent. I hope that you sense God's presence this morning, that you feel welcome. If you would like to get to know us a little better, you could do a couple of things. One, there is a card in front of you that says Connect across the top of it. If you'd like to connect with us, you could fill that out. And you could do one of two things with that. You could drop it in one of the black boxes on your way out. That's how we do our offering here. You're under no obligation to participate. But if you would like to just make that your offering this morning, drop the card in, please feel free to do that. If you would like to take that a step further, you could take it out to the tent outside, and they would love to have a chance to talk to you, give you a gift, and just say thank you for being our guest this morning. But however you decide to do it, my prayer is for you that you would that you've sensed His presence this morning and heard clearly from the Lord about what He wants to do in your life. Well, this morning it's our tradition on the Sunday after Thanksgiving to do child dedications. We do them twice a year, Mother's Day and then on Thanksgiving, because I just can't think of a better way to give thanks for the children in our midst. As I talk about child dedication, if you're not familiar with child dedication, it has been a practice in the early church since the second century. Just a sense of how do we raise children in the faith to be faithful? How do we impart our faith to our children? What is not only the discipleship that needs to take place in rearing our children, but specifically the want, the desire to dedicate them to the Lord, to pray over them, to ask God's favor, protection, blessings over them. And so since early on, the Christian church has had a practice, Christian parents, asking other disciples of Jesus, would you help me in the rearing of my children in two ways? One, just simply by living a Christian life yourself. And so I believe that one of the things that we dedicate ourselves to as the body of Christ when we do child dedications is we're saying, as the body of Christ, we will be that kind of place. We'll be the kind of atmosphere where your children can grow up knowing not only the teachings of Christ, but then they would see that exemplified through the lives of those people that you do life with. I know for my own children that their primary, when they talk about aunts and uncles, they're not talking about biological connections most of the time. They're actually speaking of the church that raised them, that was a part of their lives. They're thinking of life group where they took their first steps, as children, and now are raising their children in that same environment, that their children likewise, when they speak of aunts and uncles, oftentimes are speaking of those who are members of their church, of those who have been a part of helping to raise their children. Secondly, it's also a common practice within the long line of disciples that dedicate their children to Christ, then to ask other people to be what we call godparents. Today, that means all kinds of things, but traditionally the idea is that there would be someone who would stand up and hold themselves accountable to those children, that I will conduct myself in such a way that that child would know the goodness, the kindness, the graciousness of God through my life example. And I commit to the idea that not only will I help you in the raising of your children, but should anything happen to those children, to you, that I will be certain to be there and help raise those children in the faith. That was the original promise of the idea of a godparent. It wasn't a ceremony. It wasn't an onerous title, except to the fact that they were committing themselves to the idea that I will make sure that your children know God not only in word but in deed and through the example of my own life. So what baby dedication is, it is first and foremost about the purpose and plans of God for a child's life. It's not the same as baptism. Instead, we're here today standing in the gap for these children, praying for them, believing for them. In fact, I would say that it's almost a misnomer to call it child dedication, although that communicates for the sake of others around. But the primary reason for child dedication is, in reality, this is parent dedication. The reality is that the value of this moment is predicated not on the child, but on the parent's commitment to raise these children to know God's plans and purposes for their lives. It's a parent's commitment or dedication to rearing these children to know God so that those children will become disciples of Jesus and walk out their faith in God on their own and not just simply lean on their parents' faith. And then in the endeavor to bring up their children in the way of the Lord, it is the call of the church body to be the kind of place where a child can grow and learn God's voice, discern God's will for their life. Oftentimes in the last 5-6 years, I've heard an awful lot about church hurt and people being afraid of the church. It's a great travesty. And so I would say to us as the church in this moment that child dedication is not only a celebration, but it's a solemn moment of what does it mean for me to be the church, to act like Christ, not just out of my own desire to grow in my relationship with Him, and not simply as a ticket punch to avoid hell. Not to be consumers of religious goods and services, but for us to be the church for the sake of those little ones. And I am reminded of the words of Jesus. If we fail these little ones, it would have been better to have had a large millstone hung around our neck and thrown into the sea than it would be to lead these little ones astray. And so I think there is an accountability before God as we dedicate these children that we, the body of Christ, what it really means to be the body of Christ, that we commit ourselves now to be the kind of place and to be the kind of people where these children's faith would grow because of us and not an exception to us. We cannot shrug off biblically or any other way the responsibility of what it means to be the body of Christ in the rearing of these children to faithfulness. Here's the good news. The good news is that this is all held together through the incredible power of the Holy Spirit, the power of God at work in us to see to completion the good work that He has begun. And so as we begin these dedications, I want to point, out a couple of things. One, we're going to invite the families to come up and say a little something over each child, and we're going to pray over them. As we do so, I'm going to invite you to please extend your hand when we go to pray in blessing, in agreement, that you are committing yourself, you're committing the body of Christ here to being that kind of environment, that we would take those vows serious, and we would pray for these children. Second, one of the things that we do, and I'm going to grab them real quick. For each child, we have a first Bible, a little Jesus storybook. I think that's really sweet. I always love that. And then someone has donated repeatedly these beautiful little bears. And I've just heard parents go on and on about these little bears. They have just a little heartbeat, and it is just the lullaby bear. And so can everybody see over there? I realize I'm standing behind a pulpit, and so anyhow. So with that said, it's just a beautiful time, and my hopes and prayers this morning is that you will take joy in this moment, even as the parents take joy in dedicating their children, and your continued prayers would be with them. So with that said, I'm going to begin our dedication, I'm going to go ahead and scoot this aside so we can see clearly, and then I'm going to invite our first family up. So first I have Alec and Danielle Garcia. They brought their son, Delmasio Elias Boaz Garcia. He was born July 21st, 2025. Delmasio is the Spanish form of the Latin name Dalmatus, which originally meant a man from Dalmatia, a coastal region of the Adriatic. The name picked up association over time with strength, steadfastness, and faithfulness because several early Christian martyrs bore the name. Elias is the Greek form of Elijah, which carries the same meaning, Yahweh is God. It has deep biblical roots and tied to the prophetic clarity, courage, and wholehearted devotion to the living God. Boaz is Hebrew, meaning in him is strength and swiftness. In Scripture, Boaz stands as a picture of integrity, compassion, and redemptive character, a man whose strength expressed itself through righteousness. As I was praying for Dalmacio, I felt led to Psalm 101, verse 6. I will look with favor on the faithful in the land, that they may dwell with me. He who walks in the way that is blameless shall minister to me. And as I was praying for him, I heard the word faithfulness several times. Eventually felt like the Lord led me to this verse. And what I sensed as I prayed for him was that the Father is inviting him to become the kind of man who is known by his faithfulness, both in his faith, but also in his character, that faithfulness will be the way in which people would identify him in all things. Only time will tell if this is God's plan and purpose for Dalmacio, but I pray that it will be an encouragement for you to remain faithful yourselves and to bring him up in such a way that we might find out the incredible purpose of God for him and why he created this little person in the big picture of eternity. With that said, let's go ahead and anoint. Let us pray. If you'd like to extend your hand in blessing. Father, we come before you to surrender this child to your plans and purposes for his life. You have given him to his parents and to this church to care for him, to see him through this life. May we ever endeavor to be faithful to this commitment and to the vow that we now make, that we will depend on you ourselves and follow you, that we will represent you to him in the best possible light by living our lives according to your purpose and plans. And we now dedicate to you, Dalmacio Elias Boaz Garcia, in Jesus' name, amen. Next, we have Kevin and Heidi Cantrell bringing their son to be dedicated, Zaya Abner Cantrell, born May 27th, 2025. Zaya comes from the Hebrew and means literally, Yahweh is my strength, or the strength of Yahweh. Abner comes from the Hebrew, Avner, and means father of light, or my father is light. And as I was praying for Isaiah, I felt led to Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16. Go ahead and come on up. Oh, okay. All right. You're okay. Come on up. Yeah, that's a lot, isn't it? It's okay, bud. All good. Here comes dad and sisters. All right. Here we go. Yep. It's okay. All right. So Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 to 16. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to the Father who is in heaven. And as I was praying about this, I felt a call on Uzziah's life of evangelism, to make disciples. The distinction here is that although we are all called to make disciples, what I sensed was a gifting and passion for doing so. for those who are far from God. Of course, with this call, I always feel called to warn mom and dad that instead of stray animals, they might be bringing home stray kids. And bringing home stray children, sometimes the feral kind, that make a mama's heart worry and at the same time be proud. So only time will tell if this is God's plan and purpose for Uzziah's life, but I pray that it will be an encouragement for you to remain faithful yourselves and to bring him up in such a way that we might find out what incredible purpose God has created this little person for in the big picture of eternity. Let's pray. Father, we come before you to surrender this child to your plans and purposes for his life. You've given him to his parents and to this church to care for him and to see him through this life. May we ever endeavor to be faithful to this commitment and to the vow that we now make, that we will depend on you ourselves and follow you, and that we will represent you to him in the best possible light by living our lives according to your purpose and plans for ourselves. And we now dedicate to you Uzziah Abner Cantrell. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Next, we have Danny and Danielle Hamm, who brought their son, and they're also bringing a daughter too, but I'm going to start out with their son to be dedicated. William Matthew Hamm was born April 4th, 2023. The meanings, William is a family name. Specifically, he's named after Uncle Bill, who passed a few years ago. The name William comes from the Germanic. It's a compound name. Will, meaning will or desire, and helm, meaning helmet or protection. So it means essentially resolute protector and a strong-willed warrior. It carries a sense of steadfastness, courage, and faithful leadership. Matthew comes from the Hebrew, Matayu, gift of God or God's gift, reminding us of the blessing and calling that every child is from God, entrusted to us to nurture and guide. As I prayed for William, I felt led to Romans 8, 37 to 39. Know in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. As I went to this verse, I felt like the Lord was saying that William is going to be a person of great faith in the face of trial and circumstance, that his faith will be steady and strong in the face of life's ups and downs and many trials of life like health, finances, and such. Only time will tell if this is God's plan and purpose for William, but I pray that it will be an encouragement for you to remain faithful yourselves and to bring him up in such a way that we might celebrate and find out what God's incredible purpose for this little person in the big picture of eternity. Go ahead and anoint him. Father, we come before you now to surrender this child to your plans and purposes for his life. You've given him to his parents and to this church to care for him and to see him through this life. May we ever endeavor to be faithful to this commitment, to the vow that we now make, that we will depend on you ourselves and follow you, and that we will represent you to him in the best possible light by living our lives according to your purpose and plans for ourselves. And we now dedicate to you William Matthew Hemp, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen. 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 All right. And now, Charlotte. Charlotte Elizabeth Hemp was born January 10th, 2025. Charlotte is the feminine of Charles, which comes from the Germanic Karl, meaning free man or strong woman. In the context of a daughter's name, it carries a sense of strength, dignity, and grace. Elizabeth, also a family name, she's named after her grandmother. The name Elizabeth comes from the Hebrew Elisheva, which means God is my oath and my abundance. It speaks of devotion, faithfulness, and God's provision. As I prayed for Charlotte, I felt led to Micah 6:8. He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. As I was praying for Charlotte, I had a fiery sense of justice rise up within me, and I felt like the Lord was saying that she has an innate sense of justice. Hang on, Mom and Dad. And if directed by you towards the justice of God, it will produce great things in the lives of others. Only time will tell you if this is God's plan and purpose for Charlotte's life, but I pray that it will be an encouragement for you to remain faithful yourselves and bring her up in such a way that we might find out the incredible purposes of God for this little person's life in the big picture of eternity. Let's go ahead and then turn. All right. Let's join in prayer. Father, we come before you now to surrender this child to your plans and purposes for her life. You have given her to her parents and to this church to care for her and to see her through this life. May we ever endeavor to be faithful to this commitment and to the vow that we now make, that we will depend on you ourselves and follow you and represent you to her in the best possible light by living our lives according to your purpose and plans for ourselves. And we now dedicate to you Charlotte Elizabeth Hampf, in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. What do you got there? Yeah. You bet. Blessings. Thank you. You know, one of the things that when we come to a weekend like this that I can't stress enough is on the importance of God seeing to completion the things that he begins. And so oftentimes on a child dedication weekend, it can be both the celebration of the children we see coming up. Who can't be excited about that, seeing children and having the opportunity to pray over them? But then there's this other side of it that oftentimes people have raised their children in the church, and I spoke even a moment ago about just church hurt or things that happen, disappointments, and as we're raising kids, they have minds and wills of their own. And so for many a parent, there is also the struggle of watching a child who doesn't seem to be going the way that they thought it would go. And so then there's this pain that, like, God, where are you in the midst of this? And how do I process that? I've tried to do everything I possibly could to make sure that my child knew the Lord, that my child was raised in the admonition of the Lord. How do I handle these moments? And so, one, I want to say to you that to never give up hope. I am a constant believer in eternal hope. I have watched situations. I have baptized lots of people in their 70s and 80s over the years, you know, and that were raised by faithful parents who went astray and in their later life found themselves back at the you know, on their knees before the Father of eternity and recognizing that moment in their lives where they were raised in the faith and they want to renew their heart. I would point out to you that even Charles Darwin, the father of modern evolution, his last days were spent singing hymns and declaring the goodness of God and the hope of redemption in eternity that is found in him. And I would say to you that never give up hope. I am so grateful that my mom didn't give up hope on me and prayed me into the kingdom when I was a long way off. And I will just tell you simply that there is never a moment to surrender. And so in just a moment, I'm going to just invite our prayer team to come on up. And if that's you this morning, if you find yourself in a place where you're watching things happen with your kids that is hurtful or difficult, maybe you want to come up and get some prayer and just ask some others to agree with you in prayer for the hope for your children, for their future. Maybe, you know, you're looking at other things in your life, other challenges as we are headed into the holiday. I know that for many this is a time very challenging. I've heard from several people in the last 24 hours expressing the loss of loved ones, things that have happened over the course of the last year, and just facing those challenges. And so maybe you want to come and get some prayer and just say, God, I'm tired of my subscription of the month for 2025, and I'd really like to see 2026 be a different year. And so if that's you, if you find yourself in that place, I don't think it's ever wrong to continue to hold up hope and to pray into the future, to be confident that God can be with us in the midst of what's going on. But also, I think there's a real sense in which sometimes things change. I don't know why, with the flip of a calendar, that sometimes one year seems so different from another. I've got to believe that God in His, you know, in His mercy and His work in the world must be more aware of our times and seasons probably than we give Him credit. And so let me invite you to come get some prayer if that's you this morning. And if you have prayer for anything else, of course, you are welcome to come and get prayer for that. But let's go ahead and let's stand together. And I'm going to just wrap up the morning here. Next week, we're going to start in our series for Advent. We're going to be looking at the what is often called the fifth gospel. We're going to be looking at Isaiah and preaching through the next Sundays through a couple of passages in Isaiah about the coming of Jesus, His first coming, and about the expectation of His final return. And so I know that'll be a good time. Of course, I just love Isaiah. How do you not love the gospel of Isaiah? So let's take a moment. Let's pray, and we'll let you out a little early today. You can, you know, get to enchiladas before everybody else or wherever it is you're going. I know a bunch of you go to enchiladas, and so anyhow, let's pray. Father God, we are so grateful for You, for Your goodness and kindness, and we see the evidence of Your goodness and kindness in our own lives. We thank You for the promise of eternal life that comes through Jesus. We sense Your presence at work in our lives. We're mindful of these children and what our hopes and prayers for them as they grow up, that they would know You and walk all the days of their lives in faithful communion with You. We pray that their lives would be ones that would overflow with thanksgiving and the expectation that You are with them and for them. And so, Lord, we commit ourselves to being light and life to the children around us, that we ourselves would not be a stumbling block in their way, but that we would be able to say with the Apostle Paul, "Follow me as I follow Christ." And so, Father, we lift up the children to You. As we pray for those who children that have seemingly gone their own way, gone astray, this morning we ask just for Your favor, for Your grace, for Your strength. We pray for every parent that that just laments decisions, things that happened, events that took place, that has worked against the evidence of Your goodness and kindness, that has told our children something less than who You really are. And we're mindful that from the very beginning that the serpent was in the garden and spoke lies to the people, to Adam and Eve, about who You are and about how You work. And that even that very first couple had these same struggles that we now share. Would You fill us with strength and a sense of expectation for Your work in the world to redeem those conversations, to heal their lives. Lord, would you draw them into the kingdom? Lord, would you use us and use whomever you choose to build confidence in you and in the hope of the resurrection? And Lord, as we begin this Advent season, may it not just be for us one more marker on the calendar on our way to Christmas, but Lord, may it be a season for us where we live in great expectation that not only that you came, but that you are coming again. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. I hope to see you again next week. Thank you for being here. God bless.
I hope you enjoyed our podcast today. If you did, there's two things you could do for me. First, subscribe to our channel. That way, the most recent podcast will always be in your feed, ready when you are. And secondly, if this ministry has impacted you, would you help us to continue to reach others by clicking on the link in the description to give now? Until next time, thank you so much for listening to The Empowered Word.